Again, because of our accident, because of the holidays and Easter, we've been a few weeks away from Colossians in our study here. We've been looking at Colossians 3, and now we're down into chapter 4. We want to look at verse 2 this evening. And notice verse 2 again says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Often, the scriptures combine the words prayer and watch. We watch in prayer, we pray and watch. And that is very common throughout scripture as we read even in the Gospels. When Christ came to the Garden of Gethsemane the night he was arrested and the night before his crucifixion, he asked the disciples to watch and pray with him. And then he went off to pray, and as you know, he prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And he came back, and the disciples were sleeping. And he says this to them, could you not watch with me? Watch and pray. He went off a second time and prayed and came back, and once again they were sleeping. But that watch and pray, what is it worth to watch? What's involved in this watching and praying? And we see that here, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Let's bow in prayer. Help us, Father, to have a greater understanding of what it truly means to pray, what it truly means to watch, and how the two go together. Help us to be faithful in prayer. Father, if we're honest, we'd have to admit that we don't pray like we should. We don't watch like we should. Challenge us this evening as we look into your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice, and this is the King James translation, continue in prayer. Your translation may say something like be devoted to prayer or be faithful in prayer. The word that's used here is a very emphatic word. It's a word that means to occupy yourself diligently with, or to pay persistent attention to, or to be devoted to adhere to be busily engaged with. That's this word. It's a very emphatic word. So the thought is that we are to be occupying ourselves diligently with prayer. We are to be paying persistent attention to prayer. We're to be devoted to prayer. We're to be busily engaged in prayer. As you hear that word, can I just ask you the question, does that describe your prayer life? Are you busily engaged in prayer? Are you devoted to prayer? Are you persistently occupying yourself, diligently occupying yourself with prayer? Does that describe your prayer life? Paul challenges the Colossians to have that kind of prayer life, to be devoted to it, to be busily engaged in it, to be persistently paying attention to prayer and occupying yourself with prayer. I think maybe it would help, as you know, this particular word is only used 10 times in the New Testament. 6 of those 10 times, it's associated with prayer. So this is a word that is very much connected with prayer in Scripture. That is to be our prayer life. I think it would help us to look at some of the other places where this word is used, not with reference to prayer, so that we can understand how it's used with prayer. One of those examples is in Mark chapter 3, and if you would turn with me there to Mark chapter 3. This is a time when Christ was speaking to the multitudes. If you've been here on Wednesday night, you know that Christ would try to get away with just the disciples, but the multitudes would follow, and he had compassion upon the multitudes. And even though he was trying to just have some alone time with the disciples, or maybe just alone time with the Father, but the multitudes were following, and he always had compassion on them. And this is one of those examples. And as the multitudes were around him, and he was speaking to him, verse 9 of Mark 3 says, and he spoke to his disciples that a small boat should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should crowd him. They say, well, what's that got to do with what we're talking about? Well, the word there where it says this small boat would wait on him is this word. This word that we said means to be persistently engaged in, or to be busily engaged in, or diligently paying attention to. He says this boat is to wait on him. In other words, he said to the disciples, now, I need this boat to be on standby. And I need you to be diligent in keeping that boat ready for me. Because if this multitude gets to pushing too much, I may have to get in that boat and get out into the Sea of Galilee a little bit and speak from there. And that happened on a couple of occasions. Jesus actually preached from a boat. He was out in the boat in the Sea of Galilee as the multitude was on the shore. And he's saying here, I need you to have this boat ready. It needs to be on standby. And you need to be very persistent in keeping that boat ready for me. And I think the thought is this as it relates to prayer. Prayer needs to be that which is constantly at our ready. It needs to be something that is on standby in our lives for every moment of the day. So that at any time, at any moment, at any specific situation, we can immediately go to prayer because prayer is always right there ready. In other words, our mindset, and Lloyd was talking about being renewed in our mind, and we need to have a mindset that is just immediately, when we're faced with something in our life, or whether it's a challenge or whether it's a praise, we immediately are going to prayer because prayer is just, it's on standby. It's right there. It's always ready, and we're always ready to go to prayer. So many times, prayer is our last resort rather than our first resort. And I think the thought here, as we use this word and we see it used in this context, it's the idea that prayer needs to be our first resort. We immediately go to prayer. We are constantly ready to go to prayer. That means we need to be living our lives in such a way that we are in fellowship with God and can go to prayer at all times. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, "And whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." You see, if we expect our prayers to be effective, we need to be keeping His commandments and doing that which is pleasing in His sight. And so if prayer is going to be something that's constantly, we're ready with, and it's constantly on standby, then that means we need to be living our lives in a way that's pleasing to Him, so that we are in fellowship with Him and so that we can go to prayer at any time. We need to be ready at any moment to go to prayer as our first resort, not our last. Go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You'll probably remember this account as Philip was in Samaria, and there were those who were trusting Christ as their Savior, and there was this man by the name of Simon who was a sorcerer. And we're told that he himself came to believe. Notice in verse 12 of Acts chapter 8, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." And we're not going to go down through the rest of this context. We know that Simon had a wrong concept of these miracles, and he wanted to purchase from Philip the ability to do these miracles, and Philip had to challenge him and warn him. But the thought here is that it says that Simon believed and was baptized and continued with Philip. That's our word. Simon was Philip's shadow. Everywhere Philip went, Simon went. He was kind of connected at the hip with Philip. He just constantly went with Philip. He was a constant companion with Philip. And so think about that as it relates to prayer. We are to continue in prayer. Prayer should be our constant companion. Prayer should be with us at all times. We should recognize that prayer is something that is constantly with us. And we can, again, go to prayer at any time. Are we constantly recognizing that our lives are such that we can go to prayer? Are we living our lives in that way? Do we think about prayer as constantly with us? It's a constant companion with us. Or again, is it something we simply do before we go to bed? Or something we do when we wake up in the morning, but we don't give it another thought throughout the day? It's just not part of our thinking. It's just not something we do throughout the day. It's just kind of a task that we perform before we go to bed or when we wake up. No, prayer is to be a constant companion throughout the day. Just as Simon was this constant companion to Philip, he was always there. We need to be continually dependent upon prayer, frequently throughout the day, talking to our Lord. Again, whether it be for a challenge that we're facing or whether it just be a thank you, a praise for God, a constant companion. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Just another page or two in your Bible. Acts chapter 10 and verse 7. This is the account of Cornelius, and it simply says, "And when the angel who spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of those that waited on him continually." It's our word again, to wait continually. And the thought here, like we've already said, these servants of Cornelius were devout soldiers, and they were waiting on him continually. They were always there. They were that constant companion. They were always on standby, just like we've said these two previous contexts. Always on standby, always a constant companion. But the thought here is they were that constant companion to do whatever Cornelius wanted him to do. Whatever Cornelius said to do, they would do it. It involved work. And I would just like to challenge us tonight to remind us that prayer is work. Work in the sense that it does require sacrifice. These servants of Cornelius had to sacrifice themselves in order to serve Cornelius. And prayer requires sacrifice. How often have we made this statement? I just don't seem to have the time to pray. We've got time to do all kinds of other things. We have time to watch TV, and we have time to relax, and we have time to play video games, and we have time to do this, and we have time to do that, but I don't have time to pray. Why? Because we're not willing to make the sacrifice. Prayer requires some sacrifice. It requires us to expend our energy in prayer. And just as these servants had to expend energy and do that which Cornelius asked them to do and sacrifice their own desires and the things that they wanted to do for the sake of Cornelius, we need to sacrifice sometimes other things in our lives to make sure that we are spending the time in prayer that God would want us to spend. So as you put that all together, when we are commanded to continue in prayer, to be busily engaged in prayer, to be persistent in prayer, we need to recognize that prayer should be that which is on standby and ready at all times in our lives. It's a constant companion that we need to be frequently going to the Lord in prayer, and it does require work and sacrifice to be busily engaged in prayer like God wants us to be. When I say work, that doesn't mean it's necessarily work that we hate. I don't mean it that way at all, but it takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy, and it takes sacrifice. Prayer, continue in prayer. Notice back in Colossians chapter 4, I take you back there. Colossians chapter 4, and notice verse 12. You know, from verse 7 on down through the end of this letter, Paul is mentioning a lot of people and sending greetings from one person to another and to the church and the church back to these people, and a lot of greetings. But notice verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you. Epaphras was a member of the church at Colossae. And Epaphras was actually with Paul at this time. Paul's in prison in Rome, but apparently the church at Colossae had sent Epaphras to Paul to minister to him. And so he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you. Epaphras is saying hi to his fellow believers back in Colossae. He says he greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Laboring fervently in prayer. The word labor here is actually the Greek word agonizomai. I've mentioned this word many times. Agonizomai is the word from which we get our word agony. It's a very forceful word. It's a word that denotes, again, an expenditure of energy. It's a word that denotes a straining every nerve. In fact, this word at first was primarily a word that involved athletic competition. Agonizomai meant to engage in an athletic competition. And if you've ever watched athletic competition or the Olympics, you know that those people take their sport seriously. I mean, they strain every nerve in that competition. They'll do whatever it takes. And in the preparation for that competition, they will deny themselves. There's a rigid self-denial as they prepare and as they train. He says, Epaphras labored fervently in prayer. He strained every nerve. He was busily engaged in prayer. It wasn't some flippant thing that he said just before he went to bed. It was something he spent time in. He expended energy in. He labored. He worked. He sacrificed. He denied himself for the sake of praying for the Colossians. And again, I ask myself the question, is that a word that describes my prayer life? You know, we're familiar with the verse in James that says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The word that's used there is actually the Greek word energeo, from which we get our word energy. It's a full expenditure of energy in prayer. You put those two words together and you get the idea again that prayer is something that you are busily engaged in. It's not something flippant. You expend energy in it. You strain every nerve in prayer as you lay hold on the throne of God. And it's that kind of prayer that avails much in James chapter 5. Epaphras, he was praying for the Colossians, and notice what he prayed for. That your broken collarbone would be fixed. Don't misunderstand. I appreciate every prayer that you've prayed for me. But the prayer is that they'd be perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's the kind of prayers we need to be praying for one another too. That'd be perfect and complete in all the will of God. Laboring fervently in prayer. Expending every bit of energy in prayer. Straining every nerve in prayer. Continuing in prayer. Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, he says of the Romans, strive together with me in your prayers. Strive together with me in your prayers. Again, a very powerful word. Not flippant. Not a quick two-sentence prayer before I go to bed. But striving in prayer. Back to verse 2 in Colossians chapter 4. So he says, continue in prayer. Be busily engaged in prayer. And watch in the same. What's this idea of watching in prayer? Again, often the two words are put together. Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane, He says, watch and pray. And could you not watch with me as he was praying? What are we to watch for as we pray? How does watching and prayer go together? Well, I think one of the suggestion is seen right here in Colossians 4. Notice verse 3, it says, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he asks the Colossians to continue in prayer and to watch. And then he says, and pray for me that a door would open up for me to share the gospel. And that I would go through that door and share that gospel with others. And I would suggest to you, one of the things we ought to be watching for in prayer are the opportunities to see the prayer answered. Whatever that prayer might be. In this case, it's praying for Paul that he would have an opportunity to witness. Perhaps it's a different prayer that we're praying, but we need to be watching for the answered prayer and the open door that would take us through to that answered prayer. In other words, I think sometimes we pray, but we don't watch. And we think God doesn't answer our prayer when in reality, He put an open door in front of us. All we had to do is go through that open door and the prayer would be answered. And we're blind to the open door because we're not watching. Maybe it's because of a lack of faith. We pray, but we really don't believe He's going to answer anyway, so we don't watch for the open door. And I believe He's saying here, the example, watch. As you pray, watch for the door to open so that you might go through it and the prayer be answered. Sometimes we pray and then we do nothing. And we don't walk through the open door that God puts before us. Watch for the open door. Watch for the opportunities that God puts before us to see the prayer answered. Perhaps we may have to take some steps of faith and steps of obedience to have that prayer answered, but watch for those opportunities and see how God will answer the prayer. I believe part of the watching in prayer is watching for the temptations that Satan will bring into our lives. Again, I think the example here is the night of our Lord's arrest and before His crucifixion, as He told the disciples to watch and pray, and they went to sleep. And three times He said, watch and pray, and they went to sleep. And then what happened? When the time of temptation came, they ran. They yielded to the temptation. They didn't take a stand with Christ. Why? Because they didn't watch with Christ. They didn't pray with Him. They didn't take it seriously. And when the temptation came, they yielded to the temptation and they ran. They didn't stand with Him. And if we're going to pray, we need to be watching for the temptations that Satan may bring into our lives so that we are prepared to take a stand and not yield to the temptation like the disciples did. They failed to watch. And they yielded to the temptation. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're familiar with verse 8. That Satan, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. We better be watching for that roaring lion. He's out there to throw temptations our way, to devour us. And in that context, the way he devours us is to get us to doubt God's word. Because the very next verse says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The minute he gets us to doubt God's word and we don't have faith in God's word and in his truth, Satan's going to devour us. We need to be watching for Satan, watching for him to throw those doubts into our minds. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan just got Adam and Eve to doubt God's word, to doubt God's goodness. God said, you can have every tree except this one. And they started focusing on that one and said, God's withholding something good from me. God is not good after all. He's withholding this tree from me because he knows that it would be good for me. And they doubted God's goodness. And Satan devoured them. The minute we begin to doubt God's goodness, Satan will devour us, and we need to be watching as Satan tries to get us to doubt the goodness of God. We need to be watching for those temptations. And then finally, I would suggest that part of our prayers and part of our watching in prayer is watching for the return of Christ. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. This passage we read concerning the end times, what's yet to come in the future, and the judgment that's coming, and of course Christ is coming, and he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober-minded and watch unto prayer." Well, what are we to watch for in that verse? Well, we're to watch for the end of all things. It's coming. The return of Christ. He's coming again. And I take you back to the passage we read earlier there in Mark chapter 13. And I realize in that context, it was the second coming as he was talking there. But we can make it the application with reference to the rapture itself. And the command of Christ was to watch. 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 You don't know when I'm coming back, so you need to be watching for me. You need to be alert. You need to be paying attention. You need to be ready. And that was the context there in Mark chapter 13 as he gave that parable. And he said the servants needed to be ready for when the master would come back home. We need to be ready for when the master comes back to take us to himself. We need to be watching. In other words, have you ever... Maybe you're, as a husband or a wife or a parent, you're expecting your husband home at a certain time, or you're expecting your wife to come home, or you're expecting your kids to come home. And most of us parents have been through that. You know, the kids are supposed to be home at 11, and it's 11:05, and they're not home yet, and we get concerned. And so every noise you hear, you think it's them coming up the drive. Or you see a car go by and it's them coming, and you're looking out the window and you're watching for them, and every noise, is it them? Is it them? Well, isn't that how we ought to be watching for the return of Christ? We ought to be living every day with the expectation that he's coming back. And man, when I hear a trumpet, I'm looking. At least we should be. Watching for the return of Christ, ready for that return, wanting him to return. Anxious for him to return. And every noise we hear, it's him, it's coming, he's here. Watch. And he emphasizes that there in Mark chapter 13. Watch, watch, watch. And here in 1 Peter, watch unto prayer. The end of all things is at hand. Christ is coming again. We need to be on the lookout for him, alert for him, watching in prayer. Watching for the opportunities for answered prayer. Watching for the temptations that Satan's going to throw our way. And watching for the return of Christ. All involved as we busily engage ourselves and persistently engage ourselves in prayer. Praying fervently. Expending every bit of energy in prayer. Straining every nerve in prayer. Does that describe our prayer life? Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we are reminded of the importance of prayer. We have the privilege of coming to the God of the universe and the promise that you hear us. The promise that your ears are open to those prayers. That we have the ear of God Almighty. Me, as one little individual, I have the ear of God Almighty. Oh, how we take that for granted. How we don't take advantage of that opportunity. challenge us, Father, this evening in prayer. In Jesus' name, shall we stand? Father, I pray that we would keep your commandments and do that which is pleasing in your sight, so that we can be in fellowship with you and throughout the day just talking to you in prayer. May it be our constant companion, always on standby, ready to go to you in prayer at any moment for anything, nothing too small, nothing too big, for you love us and you care for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.